Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2101, with a release date of Friday, February 2nd, 2018. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Delays plague the planned construction of Dayton Hamvention's new Expo Center. Arizona's Quartz Fest has concluded and reports a record attendance. And a new award bears the name of a recent Silent Key who was an accomplished DXer and a treasured friend. All of this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2101 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9-GCO.
We open this week's newscast with an update on this year's Dayton Hamvention and some disappointing news. Here's Stephen Kinford, N8WB, with that report.
Hamvention 2018 is going forward on the weekend of May 18th to the 20th as planned, but the massive international gathering of ham radio operators will not have the much-anticipated new expo center that was announced last year. Hamvention organizers report a backlog on the prefabricated building sections, causing a construction delay not just for Hamvention but for the Greene County Fair. The announcement was made on January 29th by Hamvention organizers Ron Kramer, KD8ENJ, Jack Gerbs, W8SCT, and Michael Coulter, W8CI. They said it was regrettable, but, quote, "it is well out of our control," end quote. A January 29th report in the Dayton Daily News said bidding for the $1.9 million Expo Center closed with one bidder, Greater Dayton Construction Limited, citing higher costs than the county had estimated. County Administrator Brandon Huddleston told the newspaper that the company was not able to guarantee the building's opening in time for Hamvention at the Greene County Fairgrounds. The county's plan now, he said, is to rebid the project again in the summer to ensure the building would be in place later this year. Ron Kramer reaffirmed Hamvention's commitment to the fairgrounds. However, organizers noted that an additional building was to be available this year, a 7,500-square-foot structure being vacated by Fairgrounds Furniture, which was until April to leave the premises. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio.
In Arizona, another much-celebrated gathering of amateurs has just concluded, and as we hear from James Pasterfield, KB7TBT, it was quite a finish.
Quartz Fest 2018 is now in the history books, and what a year we had. The all-time attendance record was not only broken, but was smashed with 853 people. The previous record set in 2016 was 820. There are 118 activities on the schedule ranging from antenna building, wind link, a ladies' circle, Raspberry Pi, a 4x4 off-road trail ride, and even a pet parade. At night, lots of people would gather around one of the RVs where they had movie night. The wind system was in charge of making the coffee during the event, and we were all thankful for that on the chilly mornings. The wind system even had a 440 megahertz repeater linked into the network all week long. Many other people checked in and got on the air to talk to people all over the U.S. and around the world via VOIP. On Tuesday afternoon, the Western Country Cousins put on a potluck dinner that had lots of side dishes and 40 pounds of brisket. The Laurel Amateur Radio Club on Wednesday and the ARRL on Saturday held VE sessions that together passed 9 new technicians, 7 generals, and 5 extra-class operators. During happy hour, we gathered all the new technicians to make the first VHF 2-meter contact with Gordon West, WME6NLA, and received the first contact certificate. On Wednesday night, we had the Burning Ham Man activity. Every morning and night, we all gathered around a campfire for a fireside chat. On Thursday, Rick, W7RAP, held the annual Homo Stew, and again, we all had full bellies by nightfall. On Thursday night, we had a hootenanny at the fire circle, and everyone enjoyed lots of great music that was put on by Russell, KB6YAF, Michelle, K7MGO, and Kevin, NB7O. The Siloam High School did a project with the kids to build QRP fox hunt transmitters. We had tiny spiders, dinosaurs, and even a flower in a pot to hide in the garden. The projects we used for fox hunting activities during the week. The W7Q special event station was on the air all week long and made 244 contacts with James, KB7TBT, that would be me, winning the most contacts award at 125. Kristen Weed, KR1SS, has been coordinating the event for 6 years now. now. She worked endlessly to make the event one of the best ever. We all thank her for the spectacular job that she has done. We also give out a special thank you to all the volunteers who took care of us. We all hope to see you all again January 20th through 26th, 2019. Reporting from CourseFest 2018, this is James Passfield, KME7TMET, 73 till next year.
There's one more satellite out there ready for amateur use, and Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, has those details.
Now, this is the kind of grand opening that satellite enthusiasts can't resist. The Fox 1D satellite, AO92, is available for amateur radio operations. The satellite had been launched on January 12th from India and underwent vigorous testing by AMSAT engineering and operations teams before making its debut. The announcement of its availability by Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, AMSAT Vice President of General Operations, came after word that the satellite had been commissioned and turned over to AMSAT. Updates on the satellite schedule will be available via AMSAT's Twitter account, @AMSAT, and will also appear on AMSAT's North America Facebook group page in the AMSAT News Service Weekly Bulletins. The operation is being shared among the UV-FM transponder, L-band downshifter, Virginia Tech camera, and the University of Iowa's High Energy Radiation CubeSat instrument. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Just weeks after he became a silent key, the name of one ham will live on in a special honor, as we learn from Mike Askins, KE5CXP.
Only recently we shared the news of the tragic death of noted DXer and Elmer to many, David Collingham, K3LP. To honor his memory, there is now an award that bears his name. The K3LP Humanitarian and Service Award has been introduced by the Intrepid DX Group, honoring the group's co-founder and president, who became a silent key in early January while attempting to rescue his dog from a frozen pond. The first such award will be given in April when the DX Group holds its international convention in Visalia, California. The nomination period closed on the 31st of January, and we await word on who will be the first recipient. The award is to be presented to the amateur or amateur group that has accomplished some enduring humanitarian work or service during 2017. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5CXP.
If you've ever wondered what a radio marathon is like, this report from Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, might give you an idea.
Among the few things that are good any time of the day or night, we can include coffee and, of course, ham radio. Who would know that better than an international gathering of hams who've been meeting on Echolink twice a day for the past 8 years? They call themselves Our Coffee Shop. On Saturday, February 10th, they're marking 8 years of friendship with 24 hours of radio. Richard Bascom, KB4SVP, said the round-the-clock marathon is the group's way to celebrate and invite the world to join in. It's not a net. It's not a special event station. It's a gathering of friends on a conference server from the UK to the US and beyond. The Echolink software has the group listed under KB4SVP, node number 370143. Join them February 10th. Bring your thoughts, bring your good wishes, bring your ideas, and, oh yes, bring your own coffee. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W2GLD repeater in Pinckney, Michigan, on Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Hams are known for being helpful to others in their amateur pursuits, but when they start young, it's worth recognizing that giving spirit. Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, tells us about an awards program just for them.
It's time once again for nominations for the Young Ham Lends a Hand Award. Carol Perry, WB2MGP, will be collecting nominations to recognize a young licensed person, 19 years of age or younger, who has gone above and beyond to help others. Perhaps it's assistance with an antenna installation, demonstrating ham radio to others, or volunteering with emergency communications. The winner will receive the award from Radio Club of America Youth Activities at the Dayton Hamvention Youth Forum and a $100 stipend donated by the Quarter Century Wireless Association for his or her good deeds. The Young Ham Lends a Hand Award was first presented in 2012 to Michaela Williams, K4IDS, who was 8 years old at the time. She was involved with helping an elderly citizen in her community. Last year's winner was Ryan Cutshull, KD9DAB, who helped a blind ham operate field day, managed contesting efforts at Bloomington High School South, and taught ham radio to fourth graders at an elementary school. If you know a young person who is deserving of such an award, send your nomination to Carol at wb2mgp@gmail.com by April 1st. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Communications officials in Australia are being asked to consider some changes that you might call powerful changes. Robert Broomhead, VK3DN, brings us that story.
The phrase, more power to the hams in Australia, isn't just a rallying cry or a way to drum up spirit, it's a real push that the Wireless Institute of Australia has taken on, asking the nation's regulator, the Australian Communications and Media Authority, to allow greater power levels for each of the three licence classes. The WIA is asking for the foundation license to be granted 50 watt operation, the standard license to be given 200 watts, and they are seeking 1500 watts for the advanced license. The WIA has conducted several surveys during the last year and based its recommendations on the responses from the amateur community. The foundation license is presently granted no more than 10 watts on SSB, the standard license 100 watts on SSB, and the advanced license cannot exceed 400 watts on SSB. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
In New Zealand, it's time to take 60 meters for a test drive, and amateur radio operators can't wait. Here's Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
60 meters may well be on the way for New Zealand's amateurs. The New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters reports that its negotiations with the New Zealand Defence Force and the government's radio spectrum management have resulted in approval for 1 year's trial usage for single sideband on 5 MHz. Authorised usage will be low power and on a secondary basis only. Before going on the air, hams will need to download, complete and submit a form to the NZART. The form establishes a sub-licence agreement with NZART for band usage. The trial period will be used to determine whether 60-metre transmissions are feasible for amateurs without interfering with primary users. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
If you like receiving and sending QSL cards and you live in Australia, John Williams, VK4JJW, tells us about an opportunity in the Northern Territory there.
Now, here's an opportunity to work with QSL cards that may inspire someone to, well, QSL. There's an available position for Northern Territory Inwards QSL Manager, that would be VK8, and the Wireless Institute of Australia is hoping for a well-organised volunteer who can sort incoming cards as well as send sorted cards to radio clubs and amateurs in the Territory. The position also requires record keeping for the cards distributed on a yearly basis and contributing input into the WIA annual report on bureau operations. Applicants should belong to the QSL Card Committee and preferably be a resident of the Northern Territory. Training, if it's needed, is available and hours are very flexible. To express your interest, visit the WIA website and search for Northern Territory Inwards QSL Manager. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
In the world of DX, you have only a few days left to contact Dutch operators Johannes, PA5X, and Gerben, PG5M. They are operating as C8X and C81G, respectively, from Ibo Island off the coast of Mozambique. The contact counts as AF-061 for the Islands on the Air Award. They will be on CW, single sideband, and FT8 on 80 through 10 meters. QSL via Club Log OQRS. Ofcom has issued a special event call sign, GB80GGCN, to commemorate the 80th anniversary of the launch of the HMS Belfast. Be listening for the RNARS London Group operating from the 1st of March until the 31st of May. The call sign signifies GGCN, which was the maritime call sign of the HMS Belfast, launched in March of 1938. For QSL information, visit the QRZ page of G0TOC. Arnaut JG1XMV will be operating as FK/JG1XMV from New Caledonia starting February 17th. He will operate from a number of islands in the IOTA reference group. Arnaut will be operating holiday style on 40, 20, 17, and 15 meters using single sideman, QSL via his home call sign, Direct, Logbook of the World, or EQSL. Finally, if you missed a chance to contact any of the WRTC volunteers who were on the air on the 14th of January, you're getting a second and even a third and a fourth chance, if not more. From now until the WRTC in July, volunteers will be on the air and making contacts Fridays from 1700 to 1800 UTC. So if you are collecting VOTA numbers for the VOTA Awards, listen out for stations calling CQ VOTA across whichever HF bands are open. Finally, before we say goodbye to our listeners this week, here's a story about a somewhat more unconventional goodbye, one that involves a launch pad. With that story is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
If the old Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song lyrics are true, and we all are, in fact, stardust, it was only a matter of time before Funerals in Space came along. A company called Elysium Space, which bills itself as a memorial spaceflight business, has plans to begin sending ashes into space on rideshare missions. It expects its first launch to be aboard one of the SpaceX rockets of Elon Musk. The concept isn't totally new. Star Trek fans will recall that James Doohan, who portrayed Enterprise Chief Engineer Scotty, had his ashes sent into orbit in 2012 aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. But for common folks, the ritual hasn't been quite so common. Elysium Space executives hope to change that and claims there are already 100 such reservations for its inaugural mission, the Elysium Star 2. It is apparently popular with aerospace fans and military veterans. Reservations for the one-way trip start at $2,490. The Elysium website itself offers a glimpse into its vision for lunar and orbital memorials that have come of age. No longer do aging space enthusiasts have to wish upon a star. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the Dayton Daily News, Dayton Hamvention, Elysium Space, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Intrepid DX Group, the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, Newsweek, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Richard Bascom, KB4SVP, the Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, the Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve-Marie, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news teams worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2018. All rights reserved.